Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody tell me!
About to see what the future holds for the concept of personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability here in the United States. I am, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you from, well, it's actually a rather unusually warm and sunny day, considering it's what time of year it is and where I am here, somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. So, at least something's looking up. But some other things, maybe not so much. Well, it is, as I'm sitting here, it is the afternoon of January 19th, which means it is the last full day of the Trump administration. Roughly a couple minutes short of 18 hours from now, we will have a new president. Presumably that will be Joe Biden, assuming he lives that long. I guess the odds are in his favor. But, okay. So we're going to have, not the way a lot of us would have preferred, but that's what we got. That's what we have to deal with. Some interesting things I've seen today. We knew for a while the president said he was not going to attend the inauguration. That kind of weird, but, you know, not a traditional thing. Normally, the president does that, but I guess it's okay because Joe Biden indicated that he didn't want him there. So it's all good, I guess. And, well, the president is actually doing something kind of unusual. He is leaving early. Now, that's a big change from 4 years ago where the outgoing president didn't leave at all. He just sort of, you know, moved out of the White House into some other place, but he stayed in town. Traditionally, after the inauguration, a president always gets out of town as soon as possible. They take a Air Force One plane and call it special mission, whatever, and fly the guy home. And that's the way it's always been done as long as I can remember, except 4 years ago. And this time, the president will be leaving 4 hours before his term expires. Now, of course, he'll still be the president until the appropriate time, unless they have a really quick trial and get rid of him. I'm sure some people would still like to do that, but not likely to happen. So he will be flying actually in Air Force One, which kind of has to do because he will be finishing out his term, I guess. I don't know how long, probably only about an hour or so flight from Andrews Air Force Base to wherever he's going in Florida. So he will finish out his term in Florida, but he'll have to, you know, he'll still be the president until such time. So, you know, he has to have his president stuff, you know, like the guy with the nuclear codes and all that sort of thing has to be there. So, you know, I was thinking about, you know, these inaugurations and transitions and things of that nature, because I remember, I'm not going to talk about 4 years ago. 4 years ago, I was actually sitting in Brownsville, Texas. There was some interesting, you know, I watched the inauguration and that, and it was all fine. But I was really thinking about 12 years ago, when Barack Obama was inaugurated. That was kind of interesting. I remember where I was. I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and happened to be, you know, where I was, they had CNN on. And I was watching, you know, the inauguration and all the, you know, festivity ceremonies, all this leading up. And they were running a few minutes late, you know, getting things done. Just not bad, but just a little bit behind times. And I just, one of the things I really struck me was the commentators from CNN, when it got to be noon, it was like with gleeful, it was really a gleeful tone in there, in the voice. The guy says, well, okay, it is now noon. So, yes, even though, you know, we haven't quite gotten anything, you know, it's not all ceremonies and everything, but George Bush is no longer the president of the United States. And they were just, sounded so gleeful about that. It wasn't even so much about, you know, Obama. I mean, technically, it's kind of a weird thing, but if you read the Constitution, he can't assume the duties until after he takes the oath. So I guess if he doesn't take the oath by noon, technically we don't have a president for a couple minutes. That's kind of weird, but okay. I'm just one, I don't know. If I, you know, get out of bed early, you know, here I'm on Pacific time, so inauguration official, you know, turnover is at 9 a.m. my time, and, you know, maybe I'll be up and about by then. I'm not exactly an early riser, but, you know, maybe I'll make a point to try and get up and watch it, just because I want to see, are they going to be like that this time? Maybe I'll watch CNN or MSNBC or I guess pretty much anything other than maybe Fox. And I'm sure Fox, I'm just wondering, will they like have, I mean, they are in such a hurry to be done with Trump. It's not even about Biden. And it's like 12 years ago, and you know, it may be about Obama to a degree, but what those people seemed most interested in was that Bush was gone. And we know this time it's about Trump has to be gone. So I'm just wondering, is there like going to be somewhere at the bottom of the screen, like a countdown clock? You know, 5 minutes, 18 seconds, 5 minutes, 17, 16, 15. You know, as they count down the final seconds of, you know, how many seconds has Trump has left before that he's able to destroy the country or whatever it is they think he's going to do. I don't know. But that's where we're at. So, I don't know. I thought today I'd just talk about a little bit since, you know, we're there. Talk about what I think maybe we can expect moving forward over, you know, the next, well, little while. Okay, first off, yeah, you know, after Joe Biden will be sworn in, everybody will be happy. I mean, all the media people at least will be happy. Like I said, probably more happy that Trump is gone than that Biden is in, but if that's what it takes. But moving forward, let's talk about how the media is going to cover the news, the presidency, how it's been. Because traditionally, you know, there's always what they used to call like a press honeymoon, where, you know, the media, the press, they, you know, tend to give a new president a chance to get settled in, see what he's going to do, take it a little bit easier on him. Now, of course, that didn't happen with Trump. But I'm sure it will happen to some degree with Biden. Didn't much happen with Bush either. Gee, what's all that work out? I mean, as I remember, even Reagan got a little bit of a honeymoon. Not much, but a little bit. You know, tend to see, you know, see what's going on. Now, of course, Obama, he got a 4-year honeymoon. But Obama had certain advantages that Biden will not have. Because you see, for the entire 4 years of Obama's eight years of Obama's presidency, you couldn't criticize him. Because if you criticized Obama in any way, shape, or form, why? You could only be racist. See, our new president will be an old white guy. So he doesn't have the built-in automatic honeymoon for as long as it lasts, particularly with a woman of color as the vice president. See, she will get the when, I don't mean if, I say when she takes over as president. Don't think it'll be too terribly long one way or another. She may be able to keep the honeymoon going for just about as long as she wants. Biden, I don't know how long before they get tired of him. I think they're going to want to bring in Harris a little bit, so they'll give Biden a reasonable honeymoon, and then, you know, he'll be fair game, I think. They'll go after him, not automatically about everything that he might do, but, you know, they're not going to cut him as much slack as they did Obama because, you know, yeah, there are other alternatives. So, in the meantime, what can we expect as far as the way the press and the media and all this will cover Biden, what he's doing? What can we expect to see? Well, this will come as no surprise to you, but, you know, I don't usually like to make predictions, but this one's pretty easy. Anything bad that happens during, you know, I can say pretty much as long as Biden lasts, because I don't think he's going to last more than a year as president. So that'll be anything bad that happens. That's going to be Trump's fault. I mean, even St. Joe just couldn't undo all the damage and the terrible situation that Trump left him with, struggling valiantly, but the damage was so great. It was all Trump's fault. Now, you know, you remember, that's kind of like exactly the opposite of what we saw 4 years ago. You remember all the dire predictions about what would happen if Trump was the president, and, you know, the economy would crash and there would be multiple wars and all kinds of bad things, and, you know, because we know that Trump wasn't going to be able to fulfill his promises, you know, say the economy, because we had that on absolute authority. I mean, no less a seer than Barack Obama told us those jobs aren't coming back. How's he going to do this? Does he have a magic wand? We all remember that. And then when the jobs did come back and the economy did improve, well, suddenly the story just completely changed. It was Obama did such a great job that, I mean, how could even a buffoon like Trump was going to, you know, just ride that, you know, that rocket ship of an economy that Obama left him. So, I mean, Trump tried to screw it up, but Obama was just so wonderful that even Trump couldn't screw that up. Yeah, that's what we heard 4 years ago. Well, it's going to be exactly the opposite now. If anything good happens, it's thank God that we got Biden before Trump could have ruined it. Anything good, you know, if the economy picks up a little bit, picks up some more, you know, post-pandemic, and it won't be Trump's fault. It will be, well, Biden rescued us and brought back the Obama economy that Trump managed to ride on for 4 years and tried to screw up, but it was great. And now we have Biden, and he's bringing it to new heights. That'll be what we'll hear if it's good. And, of course, if the economy tanks, it will be, well, Trump screwed it up so bad that even, you know, Biden and all his brilliance, Kamala Harris, all these people, they wouldn't be able to fix it. So what do we expect that will likely happen? What do I expect will likely happen? Because I don't think we're going to have good economic news. But, you know, they don't care. It won't be Biden's fault, right, as I just mentioned. So let's say Biden, what does he have on tap? How about he wants to make a national minimum wage, you know, $15, whatever. Will that be good for the economy? I don't think so. Definitely hurt some people. Who, you ask? Well, I know one person it'll hurt, and that's me. Because, you know, here I am with a, you know, kind of not a lot of money, fixed economy. I don't want anything that can only make prices go up. Now, so minimum wage, I don't think it's really going to help anybody. Yeah, maybe a couple people, but no. You know, the people who make less than minimum wage, probably not that, less than $15 an hour, they're probably going to end up getting the new minimum wage of zero when their job goes away. So there's that. That'll cause problems for the economy, but it'll get blamed on Trump. Immigration. That's, Biden is planning to pretty much go full Obama on that, which means the minimum wage will, don't know. No, will that be mean people will be working under the table or, you know, off the books because they're here? Or will they just collect the welfare? Any way you look at it, it's not going to help the economy. But if it doesn't, if it messes up the economy, it'll be Trump's fault. Because, you know, it's more important to be humane to people who aren't American and to be humane to people who are Americans. I don't know. But here's a big one because, you know, the minimum wage and that's going to do is that's likely to hurt, you know, inflation. People with, fixed income lose purchasing power, all that sort of thing. But I have read one of Biden's things he may do like as early as tomorrow. Wants to, cancel the permit for the Keystone Pipeline. Now, small part of a bigger plan, the green energy agenda. We all know that green energy, or all of us with a clue at least, know that green energy is something that really doesn't work. So, more you know, higher prices for energy, not going to help anybody, but, well, I won't say it won't help anybody, it'll help Russia, I mean, because if we can't get that oil from Canada down to U.S., I'm reading Vorpal Bites. He's still complaining that he didn't get his stimulus money. Sorry. I don't know who you asked for it. I don't even know what I got it, but I don't care. But nonetheless, right now, moving forward, because Warp, I'm sure Biden, he'll if he gives a stimulus, you'll get yours from Biden, right? Because it's all Trump's fault that you didn't get it. Nonetheless, here's the thing about Keystone Pipeline. Canada's going to sell their oil to China. So Biden's helping China because lowers prices. Biden, give the next guy a chance. I'll give the next guy a chance. Everybody gets a chance there, Vorp. I'm only saying what I look and what I see happening. And it doesn't sound very good to me. I think the economy is going to go down. Gonna get worse. But we'll see. You know, I'll say something, you know, since I've only got a few seconds left here. I'll give Biden a chance, or Harris, or whoever it is, mainly because I don't have a whole lot of choice. I mean, I'm not going to, go up and, we'll see. I hope he does well. I hope he is a great president. I just don't think he will be. But next week, I can come back here and I can see how it went in the first week. Maybe it'll be the best week in the history of the United States. Or not. We'll have to see.
Sailing out on the sea, make a sailor so lonely. Shade of blue.